And then a couple of days later, I sent her a reply back. And she said that she received the reply and would forward that to you. And it's been 3 weeks now, and I've not received any reply whatsoever.
I see. Oh, okay. Yeah, so I just got this now, and I'm told that you requested a conversation regarding our response. And so I just kind of want to inquire what else, what you're looking for beyond our response.
Okay, just so I'm clear, did you read the response that I sent in relations to the initial request that I made?
Yes, so I read the one that was dated.
Let me look at it. Okay, let me just.
To Commander Rodriguez?
Yes, okay.
You attached some federal statutes.
Right, and a California case regarding that.
Yes, I did read that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I guess, well, what I was calling the chief for was, at this point, I was going to inquire about making a complaint, because I think that there is a serious dereliction of duty going on. And it needs to be handled. I realize the sensitivity of this issue, but you know, I served as a police officer for 10 years, so I do know a bit about this, and I'm reaching out to your agency for help, and I believe you have jurisdiction over this issue, and I'm not. You don't.
We don't.
Okay.
That's what complicates it for us, because although the federal court is within our city limits, it is a federal court.
Okay. This happened in state court.
Okay. Even state court. I mean, we don't have jurisdiction over our local judges.
But you have jurisdiction when a person who is not acting within lawful authority commits a crime. Correct?
So, I'm sorry, what's the crime that you're alleging? That a judge committed a crime?
Yes. Multiple crimes. One of them is theft, and the other one is violation of multiple rights that are protected by the California Constitution and the Constitution for the United States. So
let me ask you this, Mr. Let me ask you this, Mr. Brecky. Is that how you pronounce it?
Just call me Adam. It's fine. What's your first name again?
Gil.
Okay, cool.
Yes, so, Adam, I'm assuming the theft allegation is because of lots of attorney fees or penalties resulting from the outcome of your case.
Well.
He didn't go and take your clothes or take your money or go to your house and take something from you.
No, not in that regard. The judge did not do that. However, under law, there are certain requisites that a judge has to follow regarding the amount that they can take or order in a judgment. So let's say that you commit a crime of driving without a license. The judge can't fine you for $1 million. Right? So if he does, and the law only allows for a fine of $100, then $999,990 is theft, because it's an excessive fine and there is no authority under the law conferred by the legislature for the judge to order a fine in that amount.
So are you alleging that this judge fined you an excessive amount and then he kept that money for himself?
No. I'm alleging that the judge ordered that I give this money, that I pay this money to another person without any lawful authority. So he's ordering to take my property to give it to somebody else without lawful authority. That is theft.
So you disagree? Well, it's not theft, but under the definition of theft in the California Penal Code? That is not theft. That is a decision made by a judge that maybe you have an argument for it being outside of his authority. I can see where that's going. But there's an appeal process for that, that another judge can review or another court can review the case.
Gil, I went to that process and the three appellate justices did the same thing. They did exactly the same thing. And no joke, I mean, I'll just share with you that, like, on the 22nd of June, the U.S. Supreme Court came down with a ruling that very much supports my case and the accusations that I'm making to you right now. However, there's still criminal violation. So if one of your officers acts without authority and takes something from somebody, whether they order someone to do it or not, they are complicit in the taking of property without authority, and that is theft.
We're not comparing apples to apples here, though. If an officer took something from a person, regardless of whether authority has anything to do with it, just if it took something from a person that didn't belong to them, okay, and they kept it for themselves, for their own personal gain, you're right, that would be theft. If they weren't allowed, they didn't have permission, they didn't have a right to this property. What we're talking about is a judge making a decision based on the evidence and the facts that he considered in that case. And he made a decision that was of no personal gain to him, was just a decision like many others he's made in his career. And that they have, the judicial system has a hierarchy that we are not part of. You know, the law enforcement entity does not go in, and we're not part of the appeal process to rectify
I understand, Gil, I understand what you're saying, but there is a crime that's been committed, and you are the principal law enforcement agency for dealing with the commission of crimes that violate the penal code. Now, if 484 or 487 isn't the statute that we need to look at, then let's go with 211, because that is the taking of property by means of force or fear. And that has occurred. And it doesn't, whether the person takes the property and gives it to someone else and they don't keep it is not an element of either one of those statutes. It is the taking of property. You can give it away after you take it. You can give it to someone else if you want to. You can turn it into charity for all that matters.
I think we're stretching, even talking about 47. Now, force or fear by a court, does not fit the definition of force or fear. Now, even though a court can compel you to do something because of the legal system, it can compel people to, but they also, the court hears arguments on both sides and they make decisions based on evidence.
Right. So
there's no force or fear there.
Okay. So
I respectfully disagree with you.
Okay. I respect your disagreement, but let's say that a judge, let's say that a police officer, he's off duty and he goes to someone's house and he takes something from them. All right. And he says, oh, I'm
apples to apples there.
Okay, well.
Apples to apples. The scenarios you're giving me are not even close.
Okay.
To what we're dealing with.
So, let me explain it in a different light. Would you agree, we'll go step by step. Would you agree that the Constitution and the laws of the state of California authorize judges to perform certain behaviors?
Yes.
Okay. And would you agree that the Constitution and the laws of the state of California also withhold certain authority from judges to do certain things?
I don't know. I think it would.
Okay.
Citizen from breaking the law.
Okay.
Judges above that.
Okay. So let's just, I know it's not apples to apples, but let's just really simply go to the example of an officer in a police department. The law confers on a police officer. Okay, I will stick to apples to apples, But I do feel that I'm being respectful of your time. I'm just trying to explain the aspect of the judge, and then I will move on. Can I have that time to just make that one little explanation?
Sure.
Okay. So would you agree that the laws of the state of California and the Constitution confer on police officers powers to do certain things?
Yes.
Okay. Would you also agree that the laws of the state of California and the Constitution withhold certain powers and authority from police officers?
Yes, that's reasonable.
Okay. The same thing applies to all public officials. There are limits to their authority, things that they can and cannot do. When they do those things within their authority, they are under immunity for performing those acts. Like, let's say that okay. So now, if a public official does something and they do not have authority to do it, they are no longer acting as a public official, because they are without the bounds of their duties.
Okay.
Their duties say you must do X, Y, and Z. If they don't do X, Y, or Z, they're not acting in that official capacity. So they're not acting as a judge.
So, okay, let me ask you this. If the judge decided in your favor or against your favor, and you disagree with it, or the other side disagreed with his decision.
Correct.
There is a process to review that further.
Correct.
Right.
But what I'm talking to you about, Gil.
There's a process for
yes.
being judged by a court of law, right? If you commit it there, something makes an allegation against you, the police comes in, investigates, then provides that. The outcome of that investigation to the court. Now the court, or to the DA's office. The DA's office could say, not enough evidence to file. Or we say, no, we got enough evidence to file. The court now, here's the case. The defense has an opportunity to defend themselves. They're innocent until proven guilty, right? And at some point, based on the laws of our land, we have agreed that the final word is with either a jury or the judge.
No, we have not. That is incorrect. That is incorrect, because the supreme law of the land is actually the Constitution, not what a judge says or does.
And in the Constitution, it states that at some point when we can't agree, somebody's got to make that decision. Somebody's got to be the mediator, or the final word, and we have to accept whether we like it or not.
Yes, that what you're talking about is when a judge is using lawful authority. You've left out the point that is the paramount importance here, which is that they acted without authority.
Okay.
Without law.
Let's say they did.
Okay.
The process for that, because they are human, right? The process for that, if they acted outside of their authority within the scope of a court proceeding.
Okay, there's another point right there that is not within the scope of a court proceeding.
Well, now we're getting into legal definitions here.
Okay.
He didn't step off his bench and empty your pockets. He didn't wait for you in the parking lot and think you have a judge did that. Absolutely.
Okay, let's, Gil, let's stay right there. What is the difference then? Let's say this. I'm going to use apples to apples here. You're talking about a judge takes something. If a judge came to my person while I'm walking down the road, he takes money out of my pocket and he gives it to someone else. You're saying in that instance, I could report a crime to you. But now if the judge puts on a black robe and sits on a bench inside of a room and he says, oh, I'm a judge, now take out that $1 million in your pocket and give it to that person. You're saying that that's not theft. And the judge had no authority to make that order. See, it's what the situation is very simple. I'll put it to you like this. a motorist driving down the road gets pulled over by a police agency for not having a driver's license. The cops write a ticket, cite and release. They go down to court and the judge says, okay, first time offense. The fine for that is $250. All right. That's been taken to be a reasonable and necessary fine. It is within the law. It is within the excessive fines clause. And every bit of authority was done there. Take no problem with the cop, no problem with the judge, no problem, nothing. Now, let's say in that same example, that person gets the ticket, they go down to court, and the judge says, you're to give your entire life savings to the state of California. And you say, under what authority? And he says, under my authority. You're to give your entire life savings. And if you don't, you're going to bankruptcy. Now, in that situation, the judge does not have authority to render a judgment in that amount. The only authority he has to render the judgment in is for the $250. That's what the legislature has said. Here's the amount that the judge can order. If he goes beyond that amount, he's not acting within authority. And so he's not sitting in the capacity as a judge. He is taking something from someone, whether giving it to the state or giving it to another person, that he has no authority to take. So now, in the case of my situation, I was fined $1 million. That's 46 times my net worth for not having a construction license, allegedly. There is no law in the state of California, and I'll be happy to show you all the laws on the subject, that authorizes a judge to take that amount. Just to give you a something to compare to, the maximum criminal penalty that a judge can order in a criminal unlicensed contractor case is $5,000. $5,000. Oftentimes they award...
Is it civil or criminal?
That is criminal.
But
this was in a civil case, but it's really, here's the problem, it is really a criminal case because the statute.
In a civil court, though, right?
But
civil
that.
Courts do grant judgments that are beyond 5,000, way beyond that, you know that.
Correct, but here's the thing, Gil. First off, they have to be within the confines of the Constitution. And there are criteria within the Constitution. Number one, in the case that I sent you, was by a California court. It says that you have to take into account the reasonableness of the offense. $1 million is not reasonable. Second, you have to take into account the person's ability to pay. How am I going to pay something that's 46 times my net worth? These are all criteria that have been established by the United States Supreme Court and the California Supreme Court that require judges to act within their authority. If they don't take into account these considerations, they're not acting within the authority and their judgment is void. It's impossible that under either the excessive fines clause with the state of California or the United States, which are both in your policy that you have to respect the rights of state citizens and citizens of the United States. And here I'm reporting to you a public official who is not following these duties and therefore committing a crime. Okay, yeah.
You come in, and I take your statement.
Great.
You give me the evidence that you provided in court and your transcripts, and I book them in the evidence, and I take your statement.
Great.
Basically, you know, you went to court for this, and the other party alleged this, or you alleged this, or whatever. We go through the whole thing. We record it, we upload it, and then... we send it to the DA's office.
Okay.
At some point, we request an interview with the judge.
Okay.
Judge, we'd like to sit down with you. I don't have time. Okay, so let's try to get a court order to judge to come provide a statement on a decision that he made in a civil court to the local police department, which I would venture to say that has never been done.
I've never heard of compelling someone to make a statement. You can't do it. So it's not...
A judge.
Well, anyone, so... Can I interrupt you for just a second? All the time, we arrest people and they don't want to give a statement. Or we get a crime report about a suspect and they don't want to give a statement. We cannot compel them. Exactly. So this is no different. So I've come down, I've made a crime report. I said the judge committed a crime.
Right.
You've taken the report. You have all the evidence. And he says, look, I don't want to talk to you. I'm asserting my Fifth Amendment privilege. Or whatever. He's not under arrest at that point, but he just says, I don't want to talk to you. So then you send the case over to the DA. What's the issue?
But before I do that, I have to determine a violation of the law.
Okay, great.
And it doesn't fall under 47, 211.
Okay, so let's go to 47. Okay. No, you're contradicting the decision, the taking of property without judicial process. It is different if I'm just...
Right? You were in court.
Yeah, but it was not a lawful process. They didn't follow the law. Correct. But the finding was not made by lawful process. Okay, but Gil.
And those appellate courts have reversed findings based on.
Correct. I agree with you. But if the appellate court makes the same errors, now what? I'm still out $1 million and it wasn't done lawfully. And that is a crime.
Maybe they weren't errors.
They are. The Supreme Court of the United States just came out and said they are. There is no appeal to be made. Gil, it's over.
So then you want to go all the way down to the city police department to find some justice here, where you've gone to higher courts.
Okay.
And they told you.
Let's read 484 of the Penal Code. It says,
it does not apply.
Gil,
right now, you can waste your time.
Can you please tell me where in there it doesn't apply? I am happy. I'm open-minded. I'm open-hearted. I'm reasonable. I would like to see here how it doesn't apply. It says every person. Does that include a judge? Absolutely. The word person includes a judge. Who shall feloniously...
It does not include a judge in this court. You know that.
I don't know that, Gil. No, if he's not, okay. So Gil, can you give me the example? We're just going to take authority here. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about a judge or a police officer. But what can a police officer do that is not within his authority that he can be held criminally liable for? If he doesn't act and he is not authorized by the law of the state to do that act, he's not acting in official capacity anymore. And he can be sued civilly and held criminally liable. A police officer's not above the law, and neither is a judge. When they take actions that are clearly in violation of penal law or constitutional law, they are not acting within their authority. And so just as if one of your officers pulled me over and ripped out my stereo and took it, I could come down to your police department and I could say, hey, he stole this item of mine. And you could say, yep, He took the stereo. He was not acting within his authority. We're going to file criminal charges against him. He did it even when he was in a uniform. Or you could do what you're saying right now is you could say, well, Adam, the officer thought it was in his legal authority to take your stereo. So he's not committing a crime. I'm not going to take a report. That's what you're saying to me.
That's not what I'm saying to you, because those are two different scenarios. If an officer took your stereo, that's your property.
Okay,
if he took from you for his own personal gain outside of a courthouse,
okay.
Outside of his jurisdiction, this is a judge that acted in his jurisdiction.
No, that's what I'm saying to you. That is what I'm saying to you, Gil.
You don't agree with what his findings were?
It's no.
A higher court also agreed with him.
Oh, no, they didn't. The United States Supreme Court actually disagreed with them.
The United States Supreme Court did not hear your case.
They heard a case.
It was an appellate court, right?
Okay, hang on a minute. We're talking about different things at the same time.
You're citing maybe similar cases, but just the way, and I haven't read the cases that you
okay.
provided.
Okay.
Gil,
I understand what you're coming from. But what you're saying...
You're comparing
Okay, and what on what grounds would you make that assumption?
Just based on the way the judge granted losses or granted whatever in court to the sense of property on the street by anybody.
Okay, but the point that you're missing is that you keep saying that you said the judge did it within his jurisdiction. The word jurisdiction means authority.
But Adam, that's you. That's your opinion.
It's not, Gil.
You got another court that reviewed your case and also agreed with him.
Gil, they did not. Okay? Let me back up. Okay. Let me explain what happened, okay? There's something in law that's called disgorgement. The word disgorgement basically means to give up. But in law, that action, the action of disgorgement, just like the action of theft or the action of robbery, has certain elements to it. Those elements for an action for disgorgement are basically that you have to give up your profits when you commit a wrong. It's the same thing in a robbery. A guy goes down, he robs a bank. He's been unjustly enriched by however amount he robbed the bank. Let's just say it's 20 grand. He then has to give back. He has to make restitution for the money that he took, the money that he profited illegally. So the judge orders that he give back the $20,000. That is an order for disgorgement. That's lawful. Okay, now, let's say you hire me to build you a custom house. You pay me $1 million, and I go out and I buy all the materials, and I hire all the laborers, and I build you the house valued at $1 million. Now, you find out, and you say, uh-oh, Adam wasn't licensed. You go down to the court, and you say, I want disgorgement. He didn't have a license to do my project. So under a cause of action for disgorgement, the judge can refund, under a cause of action for disgorgement, the judge is authorized to refund the amount that I profited. So what you have to do is, and you have to say, look, you have to call in an expert witness, and you have to say, we went through his accounting, we went through all of his records, he profited $100,000 off of this $1 million contract. And that is the amount that I would have to refund. That is not what they did here. There is no evidence of that. They took the entire $1 million and made me refund the $1 million, and the people kept their house. That's the problem. So now, when it came to what the U.S. Supreme Court ruled on just recently, it was in the context of something called SEC disgorgement. And this is when a day trader commits securities and exchange fraud on people that are making investments with them. It's the same type of action. They took money that they didn't have the right to take, and they have to give back the money that was illegally taken. But what the Supreme Court said, which is the same thing I'm saying to you, is the court is required to make offsets for the reasonable value of services that were provided. In other words, meaning that in my situation, the court had to take into account that I provided $1 million worth of remodel construction to these people. And the court never did that. Because the court didn't do that, it's no longer a civil judgment. It becomes a penal judgment. And because it's a penalty, it's subject to the excessive fines clause of both the California Constitution and the United States Constitution. And in those excessive fines clauses, they withhold authority from a judge to issue a fine unless it meets certain criteria. The clauses, the excessive fines clause say, excessive fines shall not be imposed. In the same thing, it says a police officer shall not take property that does not belong to them. It's the same thing. So,
okay,
if you... So,
I'm not qualified to agree or disagree with that.
Okay, so that's fine. But what is within your purview that I believe you are qualified is that if I come to you and I'm able to make a complaint that shows that a public official acting without a lawful authority is taking something from me. Whether it's given to something else is not a matter of the statute. It says, every person who shall feloniously steal, take, carry, lead, or drive away the personal property of another, or who shall fraudulently appropriate property which has been entrusted to him or her, or who shall knowingly and designedly by any false or fraudulent representation or pretense defraud any other person of money, labor, or real or personal property. It goes on to say all of those things which are in 484. Those are all the taking of property without a lawful authority. That is theft.
No,
I'm not saying because I say, Gil. The Constitution says it.
Gil. There was no personal gain. None of that applies that you just read right now. None of that applies. And the difference is if it did apply, you're sitting. He's outside of his lawful authority.
Well, it is your duty to investigate whether he is within or without his lawful authority. I am reporting to you that a public official, that I believe a crime has been committed and a public official is acting without authority in the taking of my property. It is then your duty, under your policy.
You're right. If there was a crime, if there was a statute that we could investigate.
There is.
In good faith.
There is.
If we could investigate, then there isn't.
Okay. Can you please?
Not based on the circumstances that you described. This is based on a legal proceeding in a court of law, and which is where this occurred.
Okay.
If it were outside of that, I would say you don't want to look at this, or let's have the DA's office look at this. Absolutely, I would refer you. I would even say let's have a DA investigator contact you and examine this.
Okay. Why don't we do that? Because you've shared with me. Right, but the investigation has to begin with you, from my understanding. Now, I may be wrong there. Can the DA?
Years on the job,
I agree. I never heard anything like that myself. But
I don't know that any local law enforcement agency has ever done that before.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I'm coming to you with the basics. I'm coming to you with an allegation that a public official is acting without their authority to take property from me. Whether they, it doesn't matter if they dressed up in a costume and worn a black robe or they donned the uniform of a patrol officer, it doesn't matter. If they don't have authority to take it, it's theft. Yes, Gil. Okay.
And you're not going to convince me that a crime has occurred here.
Okay, that's great. So now...
Not even to the extent that we should investigate.
Okay, great. Margin,
okay?
Gil.
I'm going to tell you.
I hear you. I hear you.
We're out of our jurisdiction here. If something had occurred, there's an appeal process for that. I don't think you are interested in pursuing that, or I don't know if that's even an option anymore.
All of those options have been pursued, and the people that the appellate justices are committing the same lawful violation that the trial court judges. What I'm reporting to you is a systemic problem in California, a systemic criminal problem being perpetrated by judges.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
And I think you'll agree with me that who gives the power to the judicial branch to be able to decide on statutes.
The people by way of the Constitution. Article 1, Section 10.
Or the only segment of government that can make alterations to that or enact new laws to prevent the
what? Okay, well, what you're talking about, Gil, the example that you gave me, is a judge acting within his authority.
Okay, so if there's something wrong with our system.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. They're just not acting within their authority.
Okay. So who would hold the judicial branch accountable if they acted outside of their authority?
Well, it depends. If what they did was a criminal act, you would go to the police department where the crime occurred and you would make a crime report. Because the law, the penal code, applies to everybody.
But it does not pertain to legal proceedings within a court of law.
But that's if,
apply to that.
if the judge is acting within his authority, I agree with you. Okay, so you're saying that a judge can commit a crime in a courtroom. He can just completely, like, let's say that you went in there and let's say you were in divorce proceedings. And the law says that the judge is to give 50% to you and 50% to your wife. But what if the judge came in and said, okay, Gil, I want you to give your wife $1 million. And you said, judge, on what authority? Well, because I said so. Right.
Than that judge.
And then the district court of appeal.
It's not a higher authority than that judge. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh.
It's like you feel like your mom did something. Your mom didn't feed you enough protein in your dinner, and so you go and you tell your little brother.
No, Gil.
Mom said that lie when you should have went to maybe your dad or your grandfather to rectify it.
No.
Your little brother's not
going to fix it. Gil, I think no, it's not, okay? Because what the analogy that you're using is not the actual level of authority is the law itself. It's not the police department. You
but
are...
Ultimately, if we package the case and let's say the DA's office said, there's some wrongdoing here. Who is going to decide on that case down the line? Another judge.
Correct. That's the law. That just like if you broke the law or I broke the law, a judge is going to decide on it.
But there would have to be a legal statute that was violated, and we haven't found one.
Well,
okay.
So let's. Can you pull up 484 on the LegInfo website?
That's not going to be it, Adam. I'm sorry. 20 years on the job. I know 484 is.
Okay. Can you explain why it would not be? Can you explain to me why it would not be appropriate here?
In a court of law.
Okay, we're not, but Gil, we're not talking about, Gil, we're not talking about a judge's discretion. We're talking about,
you're not recognizing that this person is a judge. You're not recognizing it. Court, an appellate court that is a higher court than the court where you, that granted the $1 million,
okay. Let's go back to the example of you getting divorced from your wife. So you're in court.
I'm not gonna go back and forth with you.
I'd appreciate
it. You seem like a nice guy. Maybe you'd be more open to a conversation with an attorney.
Gil, I've had many conversations with attorneys. I don't need to go down. What's that?
You're talking to a police sergeant right now.
Great.
Right. I don't know an attorney's job.
But okay.
I think this is best suited for your type. I mean, this is best suited for a conversation with a legal professional in just exactly what you're talking about. Because
Gil,
what you would like it to be?
Gil.
Okay,
hang on a minute. Can you please explain to me this? I need to go back to the divorce example really quickly. Let's say that there's a law that allows the judge to give, that you have to give 50% of your property to your wife. And the judge says, I don't care about that. Gil, I've heard bad shit about you. You give your wife $1 million. And so, Gil, let me finish, please. Let me finish, please. Okay. Okay, so now.
That's the same reason. That's why I asked you if it was a criminal court or if it was a civil court, because you, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, you've seen, you can Google settlements or civil court,
Okay. Gil, I agree. Okay, hang on a minute. I do agree with you. However, those judgments that were made were also made within the bounds of the Constitution. What we're talking about here is not. That's the difference.
It's not the local police department that rectifies that, though.
Okay, so well, if a crime has been committed, you're a part of that process. So back to, okay, so let me ask you this. Again, back to the divorce example. Really quickly, the maximum the judge could take, let's just say in your divorce proceeding, was $1,000 and he orders $1 million. So you say, judge, where is your authority to take $1 million from me? And he says, well, Gil, I just made it up. There isn't any. And you say, well, you can't just do that because you're not acting within the law. And so you say, okay, fine, judge, I'm going to appeal. So you go to the appellate court, and the three justices say, yeah, he had authority to do that. And so you say to them, where? Where is his authority? And they cannot give it to you. So then you say, well, wait a minute. Now what's happening is I have a process that was designed by the Constitution that gives the judge, through the legislature, the authority to take a certain amount. And that is the law. The law, black letter law, says in this case, Gil is Gil has to pay $1,000. But the judge has ordered $1 million. So now the judge is taking something from you without lawful authority, meaning theft. If you take someone...
But that's what you're saying, though, but you got three judges that said he has
Gil,
authority.
No, the three judges are wrong, and I'm happy to sit down and show that to you.
So now four judges are... You're saying that four judges now are guilty of some type of theft.
Yes, and I can show you the Supreme Court case that shows that they're completely guilty. I can show it to you. But you keep thinking that there isn't a crime here. And what I don't seem to understand, and if you can explain it to me, I'm here and open to listen to it. I really am.
I don't think you are, Adam.
If you have a public official... Gil. Okay, and they... So let me just give you an example right now. Let me give you an example. Let me give you another example right now. Here's the case. Right now, Gil... Gil, you're... Okay, so ultimately you're saying you're not going to take a crime report.
We are not going to take that report.
Okay, great.
Okay.
I would like to speak to
you. Maybe talk to your legislator.
Gil.
You did mention that.
Gil, thank you so much for that. But what I'd like to do right now is either A, talk to the chief, or B, talk to someone in professional standards so that I can make a complaint for dereliction of duty. Can you?
So, the respondent to your original Public Records Act was Commander Rodriguez.
Okay. Great.
Okay, so he responded to you.
He responded to a Public Records Act request, and now I am making a request to make a complaint for dereliction of duty.
Okay, so are you local?
I am.
Okay, you can come into the station, and we will provide you with a complaint form if you would like to pursue that.
Okay, great. Is because of the COVID crisis thing going on right now, is the complaint available online, or can you email it to me?
You know what? That's a good question. I can mail it to you for sure.
Great.
I can mail it to you for sure.
Great.
I will say this. It is against our policy to refuse a person from that's interested in filing a complaint. So if you want to do that, you're within your right. I'm not going to refuse you that. But I'm just, just out of courtesy to you, I mean, I spoke to you for 49 minutes now.
Great, okay? And I appreciate that.
I didn't take this lightly, okay? But I also have a job. The chief has,
So Gil, let me ask you this. What if I'm right? What if I'm right? What if I'm right, Gil?
Okay.
What if I'm right?
This is what I'm going to say to you. You had four judges evaluate this case. We here at the police department, I'll speak for every person here. We are not, we would be outside of our jurisdiction to contradict four judges.
Even if they committed a crime. Even if they committed. Okay, but I'm just saying, let's give a hypothetical example. If they committed a crime, if what... Gil, I'm not trying to go back and forth with you. I'm just trying to understand that if I came to you...
That's the problem. That's where we disagree. There is no crime that has been committed. This was a decision that was made in a court of law that we as a society recognize as the final word. Do you think people on death row agree with their findings on the something?
If they are within the law, I get it. You can be upset,
yeah.
And you can say, okay, I don't agree with it, but it's within the law. I'm talking about something totally different, Gil.
Right.
I'm talking about something that's... Okay, well here, let me tell you something right now. Right now, the U.S. Supreme Court case that I'm talking about, it just overruled the Ninth Circuit. The Ninth Circuit is a court of appeal, and there are three judges that are there, and it just voided their judgment because they said they were wrong for the same reason in my case.
Okay, Adam, so then why don't you have your attorney appeal this to the Supreme Court then?
Because they do not have to hear your case, Gil. It's not a matter of they have to take your case and give you justice. If they don't want to hear it, they don't have to. You're done.
Then you're done, Adam.
No, I'm not done. I am not done.
You're taking some type of relief through the local police department. Why are you roping us into something that is done?
Okay, because Gil, a crime has been committed. It is unlawful. Okay, fine. Gil, I'll give you my address. Can you please send me the form? Or I can give you my email too if you're able to scan it.
I sure will, but you're basically, I'm not going to try to dissuade you from the complaint. That's right. You can submit a complaint form and complain on every employee that took the time to talk to you and to hear you out.
But ultimately did not do their job. You ultimately did not do your job, Gil. That's the complaint.
Against the opinion of four judges, roll me into it too if you want.
Okay.
What's your address?
8.
Is it in the complaint? Is it in the original letter?
Yes, it is.
I got 818 Sprint, Costa Mesa, California, USA. And then I got your email, aberekei@gmail.com.
Yes, Spirit is correct, yes. If not Sprint.
818 Spirit.
Yes.
California.
Yes.
Okay. I am going to forward this to Commander Rodriguez, who's our internal affairs commanding officer.
Okay.
I'll let him know that we spoke, and if it's appropriate, you will get a complaint form to that address, okay?
Okay, no, there's not an it if it's appropriate. I'm asking you for a complaint form.
The complaint will ultimately be investigated by your office. So you'll get your complaint form. I'm not gonna be the guy that decides yes or no.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. Okay.
Bye bye.